Through days of hurt and pain, my heart cried out, all is vain. I lost all my will to live. Too many times I tried, too many times I failed, and it only brought tears and shame. Then I saw that old cross where I won through his loss, and I knew one more time there his strength became mine. That's when Calvary came through once again. When I lost all my courage to win, just when I thought I'd been defeated, the cross was all I needed. That's when Calvary came through once again. From the stable to the grave, my Savior gave and he gave his life as a final price. Now I cherish that old tree where I found victory, conquering hell and his foes. Praise his name, he arose. That's when Calvary came through once again. When I lost all my courage to win, just when I thought I'd been defeated, the cross was all I needed. That's when Calvary came through once again. That's when Calvary came through once again. When I lost all my courage to, just when I thought I'd been defeated, the cross was all I needed. That's when Calvary came through once again. Calvary came through once again.
Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning. If you'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to read verses 7 through 10 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. As you're finding your place, if you've already found it, would you please stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together. If you're unable to stand, please remain seated. We understand that. But those of us that are able, please stand in honor of the Word of God this morning as we read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God in the passage that we just read. God, I pray that you'd use it today to help us. Father, and to accomplish that, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power. Speak to us. Help us to be better for being here today. Give us open minds and hearts as those that listen on the internet and those of us in this room. And Father, if today there be somebody that does not know Jesus as their personal Savior, I pray today they would trust him. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, let me remind you, please, to turn your cell phones off and pay close attention. Now, look at me a moment. Nobody needs to get up and go out of the room for these next few minutes. Just sit and listen very carefully, please. Why do we struggle all the time, it seems? Why is it we have struggles in life? We shouldn't say all the time, because life is not a struggle all the time. But it has its moments. Here's the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. At this point in his life, this guy has accomplished some amazing things. He has, in his Jewish religion, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He had attained to learning of a level that few Jews would ever know. Then he gets saved. Then he begins to be used by God as a Christian in his life and preaching the gospel. You see, God did some incredible things with this man's life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks about how that at one place where he was preaching, the crowd got so mad at him, they drug him outside of town and they stoned him to death. He actually died. Went to heaven. Saw some things the Bible says in the earlier verses he's not allowed to talk about. And God raised him from the dead. That would be somewhat of an accomplishment, maybe. And God would begin to use him in his life in some miraculous ways. And I want you to look in your Bibles with me this morning after he lists these things that happened in his life and all that sort of stuff. Yet, he said, there was given me, in verse 7, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now look at me. He said, after all this stuff that I've done in my life and seen in my life, he said, I saw heaven. He said, I'm not allowed to talk about it. So whenever you hear of these people say, I died and went to heaven, let me tell you what it was. Paul wasn't allowed to do it. They aren't either. The point is, this man accomplished some amazing things in his life. And, hey, look at me. And he was being used of God greatly in his life. He said, but you see, I have this thorn in the flesh that God gave me. Now, there's a lot of questions in theologians' minds. People study the Bible, try to figure out, is it an actual physical thing that he had in his life? You remember Paul on the Damascus Road, he was a light shone from heaven. He was knocked off the high horse of his religion, and he met Jesus Christ on that road, and for a while he was blinded after that. And then his sight was restored. Some people say he had, his vision was messed up in his eyes. He had like big Muppet eyeballs. He also would say later on his speech was contemptible. In other words, maybe he had a stutter or some kind of speech impediment. So here's a preacher with a speech impediment. He had something physically wrong with him, thorn in his flesh, could have been something physical. But some people think it wasn't just a physical thing. It was things that were working on his mind. See, the places Paul would go and preach the gospel or the places Paul had gone as Saul and persecuted Christians, drug them outside, had them murdered. He would stand up and preach to people whose parents he had killed. Maybe that was his thorn in the flesh, an affliction of his mind, something from his past. To be honest with you, since the Bible doesn't tell us what it is, we can only conjecture. The point is, look at me. This guy, he said, I'm trying to do all this stuff for God and I'm struggling through this. And I went to God and I asked him for healing and I got grace. Three times Paul sought God for healing. Help, strength. He mentions it in verse number 7. He said he thought it was a messenger of Satan to buffet him. So he's got the devil after him too. The point isn't what was Paul's thorn in the flesh. The point is this morning. Now look at me. The point is this man is trying to do what's right and he is struggling with it. Why is that? No, hey, look at me. Don't you think if we're trying to do the right thing, we shouldn't have any problems with that? There shouldn't be any struggles with our past, our present, our health, our life. You know, we shouldn't have struggles in our life. A lot of Christianity is selling people the bill of goods that if you do X, Y, and Z and say the prayer of Jabez, all your problems go away. You get all the money you ever wanted. Angel's feathers will come out of the vents and you'll find gold dust when you get to the house. I mean, they're selling people, look at me, and they're selling people junk. Like somehow or another, if you're having struggles in your Christian life, there's something wrong with you. Well, here's one of the best Christians that ever lived, and he said, I have this thing in my life and I can't get rid of it. However, he learned some of the whys of it, and the why we struggle is we should remember this. Why do we struggle? Why do we have physical problems? Why do we have problems in our home, our marriage, our lives? Why is there a problem at work? Why do we have struggles just trying to pay the bills and keep the wolf away from the door? What is the deal with all of that? Well, he said in verse number 7, if you look at it again twice, he said, this happened to me, this thorn in the flesh, this messenger of Satan to buffet me, this battle I'm going through, this struggle I have to take about in my life day by day. He said, that came to me, he said it twice, to keep me from being exalted above measure. Okay, it's really simple. Here it is. Watch me. You know why you struggle? You know why I struggle? To teach us that we're human. Man, we got a bunch of proud, stubborn people who think they are the center of the universe. That, hey, look at me, that it's all about them. It's all about their life. It's all about what they want. It's all about what they get. Hey, it's all about what they've accomplished. Watch a guy dribble the ball down a basketball court, jump up at the three-point line, and pew, swish, and he'll point up like this, and everyone will clap, and this guy thinks he's like the man that ever lived. Watch a person accomplish something in the business world or the political world and watch them as they get so arrogant about who they are, and what they've done with their life. You know what struggles do? They teach you that you're a human being. You're a pile of dirt God breathed life into. And we need to be reminded of that. We need to be reminded every so often that we are frail, that we are not unconquerable. Hey, that we are not the most important thing on this planet, that it's not all about me and my life. And every now and then, it just kind of helps us to be reminded that we're humans, that we're not superhuman, that we're not, hey, I'm sorry, look at me, I don't mean to bust your bubble this morning, Spanky, but you are not special. Are you good with that? You're not special. No, look at me. You're not special. You understand that? Well, I think I am. Well, see, that's your problem. You get in a few struggles, you'll find out you ain't special. That's what you'll find out. You'll find out you got the same struggles everybody else does. You got, it may be on a different front. You might live in a different type of house. You may drive a different type of car. You may have a different situation. You might be tall. You might be short. You might be fat. You might be skinny. You might be uglier than homemade sin. You might look like you fell out the ugly tree and hit every branch on the way down. You might be particularly handsome, good looking, and beautiful, whatever the case may be. But I guarantee you one thing, friend, there's some level about the ground of struggle, some level about that ground. Everybody goes through struggles, but the most important thing is it reminds me that I am a human being and I need God. See, that's a good thing. And that's where he's at there when he says this thing about being exalted, lest I be exalted above me. He said, I went to heaven and saw it, but you know what? I got this thorn in the flesh. And it reminds me what you saw in heaven is not as important as the fact that you're a human being and you need God. And that's what we learn from struggles, that the struggles in our life, they send us to God. Hey, look here. They send us to God. Notice what he said. I went to God three times asking for this removal of the thorn in the flesh. Can you remember the last time? Look at me. Can you remember the last time something really good happened to you in your life? Can you remember? The last time something really good happened to you in your life and you said, dear Lord, thank you for blessing me with this in my life. When was the last time you got a raise, you got a promotion, something good happened to you? And the last time something really blessed in your life happened to you, and while you were blessed and while it came to your life and while it was there, when was the last time that happened and you went to God first thing to say thank you and you're good to me and you're a wonderful God and I appreciate you? But you get somebody in a struggle, you want to talk about somebody, he'll go to God. You say, yeah, well, that's the problem with religion. They're using their religion as a crutch. Good crutch. Good. God's a good crutch. Boy, he can hold you up. Struggles will not only teach you you're human and you need him, struggles will push you to God. They'll cause you to realize, you know what, I got to have his help. Paul said, I went to God three times. Oh, by the way, we'll come back to this in a minute. I don't want to get ahead of myself here. The truth of the matter is, here's what happens. We go through struggles. And we turn to God and ask for his help. Average person gets saved at a time of difficulty in their life. That's when they realize, I need God, I need Jesus, and I need salvation. In witnessing to people, thousands of people in my life, I don't recall ever finding somebody in a really good situation who was happy with where they were, what they were, hey, where they are spiritually in their life, you know, all that kind of junk. I never met a person who had everything going for them. They were blessed, happy, enjoying life and everything else who you could really convince they needed Jesus. Doesn't happen very often. But boy, you get them in a struggle. You get them through a struggle in their life. And all of a sudden it's like, okay, this better not be all there is. And hey, look at me. And it ain't. No, friend. This life is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Next thing you know, look here. It's the 28th day of August. 8 months of this year, they're gone. Before you know it, it's going to get cool outside. That'll be November. It'll be cool outside. We might even get a rain sprinkle or two. And the next thing you know, hey, look at me. The next thing you know, people will get their mind off of whatever it is. The struggles just kind of, they focus me right back on the fact I need God. I need to go to him. It's fascinating to me. But you get somebody in a battle. I tell you what, I have rarely had a hard time leading someone to Christ in jail. Rarely. I miss our jail ministry. We still have a juvenile hall ministry in our church here, thank the Lord. But I miss our jail ministry. You know why? You say, oh, those guys and those women up there, they're pretty tough, Pastor Johnson. You know what? The truth is, we've been in jail ministries for 40 plus years. I take a whole room full of them over a whole room full of Baptists in a heartbeat. You know why? Because by and large, they're there to pay attention. They're there to kind of get dialed in and listen to what's going on. It's fascinating. Why is it they're more willing to listen at the rescue mission, more willing to listen at the jail, more willing to listen while they're going through a battle in their life? Why is that? Because struggles make us pay attention that we need God. Now watch me. Don't take a struggle, get mad at God, and get more stubborn. That's not the time to get stubborn. That's the time to get yielded. That's the time to come to God and say, okay, I really do need you. Because you know what, friend? You really do need him. He's amazing. And he's so patient. Struggles send us to God. You know why else we struggle in our lives? Would you look at this for just a moment, please? He says there in verse number 9, after he prays for healing and prays for this grace, this thorn to be removed, and then God says to him, I will add to your bank account. I will provide for your needs. I will do, what does he say in verse number 9? My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know why we struggle? To show us what really is important in life. Now look, if you have a physical problem and you go to God and ask him to heal you and he gives you grace, do you feel like he shortchanged you or do you feel like you got what you really needed? If you're having a struggle in your life and the devil's after you and you're asking for some help with this and God says, no, I think I'll give you grace instead of help. Do you really feel like you got help from God? Is grace really that important? Grace, God's unmerited, undeserved favor. The grace of God that brought us to our salvation. The grace of God that keeps us in that salvation. The grace of God that's sufficient for every need in our lives. You know what you learn with struggles? You learn what really is important. Yeah, but you say, but the struggle goes away then. No, often when the struggle goes away, we go right back to the same inconsiderate way we lived before and nothing really changes, so more struggles come. Hey, you use God like a fireman and guess what? Something's always going to be burning, always. It's really smart to wake up and realize, you know, his grace is good. His grace is sufficient. His grace really is amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You learn in struggles what really is important. Yeah, you learn good health is important. The Bible tells us Saul was never healed of this thorn in the flesh. It was never taken. It was physical, he had it the rest of his life. If it was a battle, he had it the rest of his life. If it was a struggle, he had it the rest of his life. But you know what else he had the rest of his life? God's grace. See, friend, look at me. We've got this silly idea in our minds that life should be without. No. Life should have its struggles because it reminds me, yeah, but my God is watching over me. His grace is sufficient for my needs. You know why struggles are important? Next, to get this one. Because then you learn to accept the plan of God. Look at verse number 9 again. Most gladly, in the end of the verse, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Hey, he said, you know what I found? I found it's more important that I have a thorn in the flesh than I have blessings and all this other stuff in my life. And he goes, you know what? I've learned to glory in that. I've learned to accept my infirmities. Listen, you'll never hear Paul read the Apostle Paul's life after this. And he had seven more years of ministry to go. You'll never see him ask for healing again. You'll never see him anywhere else in the rest of his ministry where he asked for the thorn in flesh to be removed. The rest of his life, he lived with the thorn. He said, you know what? This is a good thing in my life because this helps me realize that when I'm weak, then I'm strong in God. He realized there was a plan God was working in his life. I like us to say in our lives, God is always in control. Well, God is not always in control. You don't live right, he's not in control in your life. You don't do what he wants, he's not in control in your life. You live in sin, he's not in control in your life. You want to do wrong, he's not in control in your life. You are, and you're messing up. But here's a person who decides they're going to do the right thing, best they can. They're going to honor God with their life. Then he's in control. And you know what? You learn through struggles. God has a plan through this stuff. You mean he weakens me? That's a good thing? Yeah, if you learn that you found strength in him. You mean he takes things from me? That's a good thing. Yes, if you learn that he then supplies the need that he wants to give you. Don't you get it? Don't you get it, friend? You learn that God's plan is better even if the problems don't go away and the struggles don't disappear. Hey, look at me. You can't get that out there in the world. You understand? That world out there will do everything they can. They give you every bit of medication they can. They'll give you every dollar in a pocket they could possibly provide for you. They'll do everything they can to keep you from having to struggle. And what has that created? It has created a selfish generation of people who care about nothing but what they can get from somebody for nothing. But then there are these Christians. We go through struggles too. We have our own battles. But then there's God who brings victory. And there's God who helps us. And there's God who strengthens us. And we find that even in our weakest moment, we have a biblical strength that nobody else can understand. For then, when I am weak, then am I strong. Do you understand, friend, that God, through even your struggles, there's a plan God has in all this? Are you looking for his plan? Are you trusting his plan? That's why Paul will not ask for healing anymore. He won't ask for the thorn to be removed anymore. He would rather have it and live with it because he knew it was a part of what God had for him. You know why we struggle to reveal to us what real strength is? For when I am weak, then am I strong. Hey, Sally, quit fooling around with your purse. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Watch me. In other words, he found out what real strength was. Strength isn't the ability of your character. Strength isn't the constitution of your might and your will. Strength is this. I go to God and he enables me to do what I cannot. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Fascinating, isn't it? The key in struggles with life is you find a strength that comes from God you can't get from anywhere else. So how are you doing with your struggles? They're wearing me out, Pastor Johnson. Yeah, they can tap us. Hey, look. Yeah, they can. But I found something out, ladies and gentlemen, as does the Apostle Paul and as many of you, that when you come to the end of you, God is there and he can take you further than you can. And he can strengthen you in a way nobody else can. And he can bring you along in a way that no one else can provide. Listen to me. The truth of the matter is, friend, struggles. Well, no wonder he said, look at it one more time. Therefore, verse 10, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. So guess what? We have, with his help, what nobody else can get. You can't get it from yourself. You can't get it from your family. You can't get it from those who are always there for you. I love that statement. You can't get it from the world. But you find it when you struggle and you go to God and you rely on him to help you with that in your life. Then you learn something very important. Struggles are actually a good part of my life. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.